Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles today to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. That is right after the book of Proverbs, which comes right after the book of Psalms. If you're having a little bit of difficulty finding it, it's perhaps one that hasn't been read from as much as some of the other books of the Bible. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. While you're finding it, we're happy to have among those who are visiting with us Mr. Tom Humphrey's brother, who is a missionary, I believe, to, is it Australia? And you're on your way there pretty soon. We're glad to have you and your family with us today. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, I'm going to begin reading at verse 9, and I shall read through chapter 12, verse 1, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the wisdom of Solomon, that Thou didst endow him and imbue him with the wisdom to write as Thou didst instruct him to write here in the book of Ecclesiastes and in the book of Proverbs, those things that we trust will guide us, not only for the youth, but for every person here. May Thy word be lodged within our hearts. May the sharp sword of the Scripture knife into our souls, and may as a seed it be implanted and embedded within our thinking that we might think for Thee. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Now on this Youth Sunday, 1969, I believe that these are choice words for a text for my message today. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, the ways of your heart and the things of your eyes, for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. One of, and perhaps the most well-read of all of Shakespeare's works, is the play entitled Hamlet. And in Hamlet's soliloquy, we have some soul-searching words like these: to be or not to be. That is the question. This is Youth Day. And young people, let me say to you that this is your question: to be or not to be. And only you can provide the answer to this question: to be or not to be. I am borrowing from Hamlet the words that will comprise my subject title today: to be or not to be. We are going on a trip. That sounds interesting, doesn't it? And on this trip, we are going to take an imaginary journey through the tunnel of wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men freely, and it shall be given him. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Now, young people, don't be taken back by some who have gone to college and have learned a few things and think they know more about the world situation than God does. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And in this tunnel of wisdom, we shall see some of the things that should be, and on the other hand, some of the things that should not be. To be or not to be, that is the question. On the first mile of our journey through the tunnel of wisdom, you will learn that you should be in agreement with your parents' instruction. I know somebody's already said, well, there he goes again, talking about children obeying their parents. I'm going to show you in the tunnel of wisdom some things that you need to know about being in agreement with your parents' instruction. Now, in the book of Proverbs, which was written by Solomon, the wisest of all men, chapter 1 and verse 8, these words are inscribed upon the walls of the tunnel of wisdom. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Inscribed on the walls of the tunnel of wisdom, over in chapter 23 at verse 22. Listen. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, that is, who gave you life, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Some of you think your mother's old fogey. The Bible says, despise not thy mother when she is old. Then in the 30th chapter, inscribed upon the walls of the tunnel of wisdom, chapter 30 and verse 17, you hear this carefully. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Now, all of this that the wise Solomon has spoken from the tunnel of wisdom is just another way of echoing the words of the Apostle Paul: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's another way to get the echo from Mount Sinai: honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days shall be long upon the earth that the Lord hath given thee. It isn't smart, it isn't funny, it isn't cute, it isn't bright, it isn't promising, it isn't to be praised for a young man or a young woman to go against what mother and daddy have told you to do. And parents, this message is for you too. For the greater burden of discipline is not upon the child, but it's upon the mother and father. I feel sorry for some parents who have to ask and re-ask and beg and re-beg for their children to do some simple, ordinary, everyday thing. They are miserable. Take up some time with your children. Like the man that was a hard-working man, he came home and several afternoons of the week, after working a hard day's work on the job, would go out in the backyard and play baseball with his son. And his neighbor leaned over the fence one afternoon and said, "What on earth are you doing playing baseball? Aren't you so tired you're about to fall in your tracks?" He worked on the same job as the neighbor. He said, "Yes, but I'd rather have a backache now than a heartache later." In this first mile, young people, learn that you should be in agreement with your parents' instruction. To be or not to be obedient is the question. You have the blessing of God to obey, and you have the curse of God to disobey. On the second mile of our journey through the tunnel of wisdom, you will learn that you should be separated from sinful companions. Many a good boy has been led astray by associating with the wrong crowd. When the Word of God, back to the first chapter of the book of Proverbs in verse 10 of chapter 1, you listen to these words. "My son," this is good for the daughters too, "my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those go down into the pit,' we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse." Verse 15 says, "My son, walk thou not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." Young men and young women, listen to me. The evil associates of the world will tell you that the fruit of transgression tastes good. This might surprise you, the preacher admitting it. They do. To the lips. But in the stomach, they become bitter. And oh, how bitter is the bitterness of sin. For the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. But sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The gang will say, like Solomon said they would, "Come on over. Let's go rob this bank. Let's steal from the teacher's drawer. Let's take something from mother's pocketbook. Let's take something from the counter when the clerk has turned his head. Let's all pool our resources and have one account, and let's all live out of it." My son, refrain thy foot from walking in their path. Oh, they'll tell you, you can get your name in the paper. And sure enough, you will, at least in the obituary column. You should learn on your journey through the tunnel of wisdom, separate yourself from evil companions. On the third mile of our journey through the tunnel of wisdom, you will learn that you should acknowledge God in all your ways. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6 trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Young people, you have many choices to make in life. To be or not to be is the question. You can acknowledge God, or you can ignore God. You have the choice. To be or not to be. And I believe that as a young person, and this is good for the old folks too, we ought to acknowledge God in every choice that we make. Young people, you should acknowledge God in the choice of your clothing. I believe a Christian ought to dress decent. Some of the young girls running around with the short dresses on would embarrass Paris. You ought to acknowledge God in the choosing of your clothing and let your apparel be right before him. Well, I didn't get many amens on that, but it's Amen. A God's truth. Some of you older women could take some lessons from that too. Somebody said about the baptistry glass, well, it's a little bit embarrassing for women. I rather doubt that it's embarrassing when they show a whole lot more just sitting on the pew, some of them, than they do seeing through the glass. You ought to acknowledge God in the choice of your clothing. And mothers, if you don't put that example before your daughters, don't expect anything else from them. I'm glad we've already taken the offering. You ought to acknowledge God in the choice of your entertainment. Don't go anywhere you can't take Jesus with you. Amen. If you've got to say to him, Lord, you stay on the outside while I go in, you've got no business there. You ought to acknowledge God in the material that you read. The publishers of pornography are the richest people in the world. And they're feeding poison into the minds of young people. Don't read that trash, that filth. You ought to acknowledge God in your reading material. You ought to acknowledge God in your choice of a college and school to attend. I know the choice is narrowed down in these days. You ought to acknowledge God in the friends that you choose. I think Christian young people ought to have Christian friends and in their own circle. Why go out to an outside circle to make steadfast friends when you could make friends with the other Christian young people? Make not friends with an angry person, says the scripture. Then you ought to acknowledge God in the dates that you have. We're in the tunnel of wisdom now. And I've said it so many times, and I don't think I can emphasize it too much. I do not believe that Christian young girls ought to become serious with unsaved boys. Nor do I think that Christian boys ought to become serious with unsaved girls. Oh, you say, but preacher, I can handle it myself. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can't handle it yourself. The Bible says, be not unequally companioned or yoked together. Oh, you say, but I can win him after I get the ring on the finger. Oh, no, if you don't win him before, you won't win him after. Now, this sounds like a whole lot of preaching, but it's the truth. Acknowledge God in the choice of dates. Acknowledge God in the job you choose, in the vocation for life, in the profession upon which you will enter. The truth of the matter is simply this: acknowledge God in all your ways. He will direct your path. On the fourth mile of our trip or our journey through the tunnel of wisdom, you will learn that you should be honest in all your dealings. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28. Listen to these words. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Now let me bring you up to date on that custom. A father in the olden time would divide his land by allotment to his sons and drive up a stake or a landmark. This is Johnny's, this is Jack's, this is Bill's, or as the case might be. And some of the enterprising young men, while Daddy and the other brothers were asleep, would go out and move the landmark and get a little bit more land for themselves. Oh, you say, but I wouldn't do that. Would you cheat on an examination? That's dishonesty. Would you shortchange somebody? That's dishonesty. You must learn to be honest in all your dealings. Would you lie to mother and daddy about where you've been and what you've done? That's dishonesty. I read a story about a young man who was in prison for embezzling $30,000 from his employer. And after he'd been there a day or two, the inmates began to chide him a little bit and say, "You didn't really get all of those many years. You're not really in prison for stealing $30,000, are you?" He said, "No." "Well," he said, "yes and no." "Yes and no? What do you mean?" "Well, I'm not really in prison because I embezzled $30,000. I'm in prison because I stole 72 cents from my uncle when I was 10 years old. You see what I mean? It's the little dishonesties, the little cheating, the little stealing that makes a thief out of a man. He would not have stolen the $30,000 if he hadn't stolen 72 cents. Be honest in all your dealings. On the fifth mile of our journey through the tunnel of wisdom, you should learn that you should not be envious of the wicked gang out there in the world. Proverbs 23 and verse 17. Listen to these words from the tunnel of wisdom. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Now some of you young men have already been dreaming of how wonderful it would be to be in the gang that rides the motorcycles with the black jackets on. Or how much it would be to be among those who have what they call a particular place in society. The Bible says don't envy that crowd. Don't be envious of the wicked. For your membership in the gang just might be step number one to your becoming a gangster. There's an old Latin proverb that says, the sins of youth are paid for in old age. The Bible says the same thing in another way. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the wind shall reap the whirlwind. Two neighbors once had a very severe quarrel. The son of one of them heard everything that was said, and he was so embittered against his neighbor for talking like he did to his father, just a young boy, he decided he'd get even. So he went that night and found all the Johnson grass seed that he could find and sowed it all over a tract of land and thought it was all over. But, as neighbors will do, the men got back together. The families became neighborly again, and the little boy fell in love with the little girl. You know how that goes. Just let it go in the right direction. And when they grew up, the neighbor called in his daughter and her husband-to-be and said, "Children, I'm going to make you a gift of a certain tract of land." You guessed it. The land where he had sown the Johnson grass seed was now his to plow. Be sure your sins will find you out. You must learn. You must learn not to be envious of that which is wicked and evil and sinful. For there are three laws in sowing and reaping. Number one, you always reap exactly what you sow. A farmer doesn't sow corn and go out and reap wheat. You reap exactly what you sow. Number two, you reap more than you sow. And number three, you always reap later than you sow. Be not envious of the wicked. On the sixth mile of our journey through the tunnel of wisdom, you will learn that you should refrain from intoxicating beverages. Proverbs, the book of wisdom, the tunnel of wisdom, chapter 23, verse 20. Be not among wine bibbers. And listen to what Solomon says in the 20th chapter, verse 1. Wine is a mockery. Strong drink is raging. Now get this last part. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I know that some young people think, well, it's smart to take a beer. It's smart to put your lips to the bottle of whiskey. It's the most foolish thing you ever did. And let me tell you this, where I come from, they feed slop to hogs. And that's what it is. It's slop, and it doesn't belong in the human body. Well, I know it's the acceptable thing. It's the social thing to do. And somebody says, but one drink won't hurt anybody. Now you just wait just a minute. I'm going to give you some medical answers to that. The medical authorities tell us that the one drink begins to damage the brain. And God knows most of us can't stand any damage in that department. I read the latest research into drinking and death says that every time a man takes a drink, he cuts 25 hours off his life. You don't want to stop living too soon, do you? 50% of all of our accidents are caused by drinking. Oh, again, somebody says, but one drink. Oh, I'll just take one. Every alcoholic took the first drink. Oh, but now, wait a minute, preacher. I'll never be an alcoholic. You know the relationship that exists between a social drinker and an alcoholic? They are related just like pigs are related to hogs. What if a pig said, I'm going to always remain a pig? Doesn't work that way. If he lives long enough, he'll grow up to be a hog. Young people, don't be deceived by strong drink. It's raging. It's mad. It's deathly. It's destructive. Oh, but somebody said, I think I heard Billy Graham say that to eat too much was just as big a sin as taking a drink. I don't believe that. Number one, I don't believe that eating too much food will do for your brain what intoxicating beverages will do. And anything that puts you out of your mind and releases the capabilities of your senses is wrong. Now, I've got respect for Billy Graham, but I think in that area he's wrong if he said it. I didn't hear it. To dull a man's senses and to put a man out of his mind is wrong, is sinful. Now, I think it's wrong to eat too much. But I do not believe they're on the same plane. And I might add that you ought to refrain from drugs.
Oh, but let me try it just once.
Again, your personality, young people, will never be the same.
I know this just sounds like a lot of preaching to you. And I know that you say, well, our pastor is sort of old-fashioned to be such a young man. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to believe it. You can go on and experience with drink and dope if you choose. But the wages of sin is death. And it'll show up on you. And it'll show up on the children that you give birth to.
One of the leading doctors in our country showed a movie some several years ago of babies who were born deformed. Some without eyes, some without arms, some without legs, some without nose, ears. Completely deformed. Someone asked him, Dr. Kelly, how do you answer this? And Dr. Kelly said, the sins of the parents show up in the children. Nicotine and dope and drink, and these things are passed on to children. If you don't care enough about your own body, think about those to whom you'll give birth in the days ahead. This is life and death with me. And again, I say, you don't have to, let's get it straight. You don't have to believe the preacher. You don't have to abide by this, but you'll live long enough to see that the preacher was right, and you'll wish that you had. On the seventh mile through the tunnel of wisdom, you will learn that you should not be a revolutionary, a rioter, or a rebel. Is that in the Bible? It sure is. You haven't ever read this before. Turn over there to Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 21. I want you to listen. Oh, I don't want any of our young people to be caught up in this rebellious, draft card burning, birth certificate destroying, long-haired business of protesting. I think it's wrong. And parents, you ought to tell your children it's wrong. Don't leave it all to the preacher. Help me out. Listen to it from the Word of God. Proverbs 24 and verse 21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Now, the English does not do for us what the Hebrew does. Now, let me read you the expanded Hebrew translation of that verse. Listen to it. My son, reverently fear the Lord and the King, and do not associate with those who are given to change of allegiance and are revolutionary. That's the Hebrew for the reading of Proverbs 24:21. Don't associate yourself with those who rise up in rebellion against the establishment. For young people, if you ever have anything, you're going to get it from the establishment. Don't kick it. It's all you've got. Now, I know that the generation that's gone before has made a lot of mistakes. There are a lot of injustices in the world. But the answer to the injustices of the world is not found in protest, rebellion, revolution, draft card burning, birth certificate burning. Don't be associated with those who change allegiance and are revolutionary. Now I've got a footnote to my message and I'm through. Whatever you decide to be or not to be, if you're lost, be saved. Let me repeat. Whatever you decide to be or not to be, to make out of your life, I beg you, If you're lost, be saved. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. Listen to these words. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Young people, whatever you are or are not, you may be bored with a message today. You may feel that the preacher is being a little bit old fogey and a little... You can laugh and grin and wink and whatever you want to do. But I'm telling you, the most important thing in your life is to be in the right relationship with God. Maybe you don't see it now, but you will if you live long enough. And out of the tunnel of wisdom, I want to give you a warning. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And from Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reminded or reproved, or preached to, if you please, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. One final word of warning, Proverbs 14:12. I want you to listen to this. There is a way which seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way which seems right, looks right, appears to be right, but when you get to the end of that way, it's death. Why don't you say today what the prodigal son said? I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say, Father, I have sinned against thee and am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me a hired servant. Oh, you say, but preacher, how can I be saved? Isn't joining the Sunday school class enough? Isn't joining the church enough? No. You must first confess that you're a sinner. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the youth segment of Worth Baptist Church. And we pray that the words of the wise Solomon, not the preacher's words, they don't amount to much. Yea, even Solomon's words don't amount to anything outside the illumination and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So may Thy word, holy word, unending word, eternal word, sharp word, blistering word, burning word, may it burn a hole in the hearts of these young people today. And may they realize that without the Savior, there is no future, there is no hope. With whatever else they might have, boyfriend, girlfriend, job, school, good time, all of this is meaningless without the Savior. Help them to see that what we want to do is not take them away from all of their fun, nor all of their fun away from them, but to give them and offer them the happiest way of life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May mothers and daddies feel the impact of the message today. May they not slough it off and put it aside and say, well, the pastor's out on another one of his limbs. But may they, Heavenly Father, be impressed by the Holy Spirit that the pastor and the Word of God are right. Help us to put everything on the altar for Jesus. For those young people who are not saved, may they come to trust Him. For those who need to make decisions about full-time service and surrender for the ministry or missions or whatever Thou dost have for them, may they come today. For those who need to come into the fellowship of Worth Baptist Church, may they come. For those who would like to come and just whisper a prayer about the altar, may they come today as the Holy Spirit speaks. Dear God, soften our hearts. Help us to think not only for now, but to think for tomorrow. And for adulthood, and for parenthood, and for the future. In Jesus' name we pray.